Welcome to our podcast for Raising Arizona Kids Magazine. I'm Vicki Belint. She does the planning, the hiring, the managing, the organizing, the marketing, whatever it takes to run the family business, which includes Vincent on Camelback, the Bistro, a Saturday seasonal French market, and a corporate catering offshoot, Vincent Van Gogh. Everything that is, but the cooking. Levon Garriteau talks about raising kids around a restaurant, Thanksgiving traditions, mentoring teens, and buying local.
I grew up in Coolidge. Coolidge is a small little farming community that's right between Phoenix and Tucson. My childhood years were about the furthest thing from the restaurant business that you could imagine. We didn't have a lot of fine dining restaurants in Coolidge. You know, some Mexican cafes and the B&K root beer stand, but yeah, that was I was born in Phoenix, but I grew up in Coolidge.
So as you were growing up, what were some of your career goals? What did you envision for yourself?
You know, I always was interested in marketing. I started working when I was fairly young for a real estate company, but I was doing more of the administrative stuff, really not interested in real estate sales or becoming a real estate salesperson, but more in the administrative end of it. At that time, it was, in the 80s when real estate was going strong, and so we would do a lot of corporate events, parties and stuff like that, and I was in charge of planning them. So it was kind of ironic that I ended up in this business because I sort of fell into it quite accidentally, you know, planning events and marketing and, you know, PR and that sort of thing in a real estate company, but still had to do with food and parties and events.
So how did you meet Vincent, and is that why you ended up working with the restaurant business?
No, I didn't. I met him actually through one of these events that I had planned for this company. It was a big holiday party, and he was between restaurants. He had the restaurant in Pinnacle Peak that closed, and he was doing some work for Continental Catering, and Continental Catering was catering our event. I had hired them to cater the event. So he was kind of, you know, moonlighting and just doing some odd, whatever he could pick up until, you know, he opened this restaurant. And so I met him through my friend Christy Riding, who owned Continental.
So what do you remember in particular about the Valley restaurant scene at that time, before Vincent's, or right around the time Vincent's was opening?
I didn't grow up in a family where we really, you know, we weren't a culinary family. We didn't dine out a lot. But I don't think there weren't a whole lot of things going on in Phoenix. I remember, for me, the big deal was Green Gables. I don't know if you remember the Green Gables.
Thomas
and 24th Street. Right. And they had the horse out front.
You know, a lot of people went there for Valentine's Day or
dates. Yeah, it was like a special occasion, you know, like for a birthday or something. And so I can remember growing up as a little girl, getting to go to the Green Gables. I mean, that was just such a big deal, you know, to see the white horse. I don't know what kind of food they served. I don't remember any of that. I just remember that was like just such a big deal. But besides that, we would go to like the Piccadilly Cafeteria, you know, on Sunday. That was sort of a Sunday treat. You know, I don't remember a lot of French restaurants. I mean, you hear of like Voltaire, some of the old time ones that were around, you know, Chez Louis. But I never really went there, you know, with my family. I mean, I think the biggest thing that we did was the Green Gables. That was haute cuisine, you know, for us.
But sort of haute cuisine.
Yeah. and like I said, I don't even remember what kind of food they served. It was probably steaks.
Right. You know. But sort of placing Vincent's on Camelback when it did open, what was the restaurant scene like then in Phoenix? Because it's changed a lot since
then. It's changed a lot. It's changed quite a bit. You know, when we opened the restaurant, the Ritz-Carlton wasn't there, the Phoenician wasn't there. And when he opened it, he did something really different that people they weren't familiar with. You know, it was a French guy coming in, cooking with Mexican ingredients, basically. And so people were really curious about that combination. You know, it sounded kind of unusual, but, you know, and there were a lot of restaurants at the time in California, New Mexico, and different places that were starting to do kind of fusion food, you know, Mark Miller in Santa Fe, you had John Sedler opening a place in California. So there were, you know, people were starting to experiment with that. I think we were a little different in that it wasn't, the French was probably the prevalent flavor, not the Mexican. You know, a lot of them, if you go to Mark Miller's, it's really spicy. Southwestern food, and here it was the subtlety of, you know, putting beurre blanc, making a tamale with a duck confit that had been, you know, the duck had been confit for weeks, and then you cook it in the tamale and then cover it with a beurre blanc sauce, or
and that was completely new,
and that was completely new, completely different, and so people just, you know, loved it from the get go, and some of those dishes are still on our menu today, you know, because we've tried taking them off, and people have just said no. So, like the smoked salmon quesadilla, the duck tamale, the lobster chimichanga, all those things are kind of signature dishes that have just been classics that have remained with us.
So, talk about what your role has been with the business over the years.
When the restaurant first opened, we weren't married. It was much smaller. So, I was initially just involved in sort of helping promote it, PR, marketing, you know, getting some media attention so people would know that we were here, which at the time was pretty easy to do because it was something new and exciting in Phoenix. Then we had babies, and so I slowed down a little bit, but was always, you know, involved in the office side or administrative side, but certainly not as much as I am now. And now, you know, gosh, it just depends on what the day brings, what hat I'll be putting on, you know, everything from the restaurant to our Van Gogh business, the market, you know, hiring all the kids for the market, getting ready for that, you know, doing private events. I do coordinate, like, all the private events that we do here in the restaurant.
A woman
sort
of
oversee,
many hats,
you know, I mean, this is a business where you just, depends on what you need to do. You know, Vincent and I were out making a delivery this morning because we didn't have enough people to do it, so, yeah.
So talk about raising your three boys and how having the family changed or affected your role in the business.
Well, we sort of incorporated them into the business early on just because, you know, it's a family business and we had to. You know, we were here a lot, so they needed to be here a lot. So they never really had, like, set nap schedules or set, you know, times. I mean, it was just kind of like, okay, guys, we got to go. We're doing this. You know, we literally had a baby gate in the office upstairs, you know, and Daniel would toddle around. And when he was born, our hostess at the time sometimes would come up and get him. And she'd literally seat guests holding him. He'd be nestled, you know, under her shoulder sleeping. And it was just, you know, they were here and Vincent was here all the time. And so they kind of, you know, were brought up in the business. I mean, obviously, as they got older and more into their activities, I was the parent that was, you know, taking them around and doing all that stuff because Vincent was busy. But we just tried to make it work as best as we could, given the crazy demands of being in this business.
Because it seems like it's 24-hour.
Well, it's 24/7, you know, when your name's on the door. I mean, it seems like that, you know, and we don't live too far away. And I mean, you know how that goes. If there's a problem or something, then you know who they're going to call, you know, if something goes wrong, the plumbing backs up or whatever, you know. It's just you're always on call. And, of course, our busy times are the times that most people are, you know, having fun, the holiday times and, you know, family times. Well, that's when we're busy and we're glad to be busy, you know. But it's very hard to plan family functions and things around the holidays, Christmas Eve. Because, you know, the restaurant's booked, so we just kind of incorporated them into it and, you know, just, I mean, I always joke that my boys have never had a traditional Thanksgiving in the sense, you know, they're going to get married and go to their wife's house for traditional Thanksgiving dinner and not even know what it is because we do Thanksgivings to go and, you know, so Daniel, the past few years, will be here like all night helping his dad, literally the entire night, getting it organized. Getting a spreadsheet, you know, Excel program. He's really done a great job organizing. And now Nicholas and Christian will come. And so, you know, that's what we do. We're here at 4 in the morning on Thanksgiving, and we're packing, and then we go home in the afternoon and crash. And, you know, but
That's your Certainly Thanksgiving.
That's our Thanksgiving. That's our tradition.
Well, in the summertime, you do get to take some time off. And
we do. We go visit Vincent's folks in France, and he's got three brothers there. So.
And tell me about that, because you've also raised the boys to go to another country,
right.
Different cultural experience every
right.
summer.
Right, yeah, and it's been great for them. When they were younger, I'm not sure they appreciated it. You know, it was kind of like, oh, you know, do we have to go again?
Do we have to go to France?
I want to, you know, it's the NBA playoffs, you know, can we stay? And we're going to miss the finals or, you know, that kind of thing. As they've gotten older, and I mean, they always wanted to go see their grandparents, but they missed, you know, activities here and things here. As they've gotten older, I think they really now appreciate that global perspective that they have, you know, two completely different cultures, lifestyles, languages,
and
know,
they
everything.
Speak French.
And they speak French, and, you know, I think now they really embrace it and, you know, are proud that they can speak French. And
so let's talk a little bit about food choices and feeding a family as they are growing up within this restaurant culture, especially this delicious gourmet French haute cuisine culture. What was that like? Because that's a lot different than the way you grew up.
Much different. Yeah, my parents are from Georgia, so literally everything that we had came out of a frying pan. I mean, I just remember, you know, some people have a toaster in their kitchen on the counter. We always had a frying pan that was just like, you know, every meal it was fried pork chops or fried chicken or, you know, chicken fried steak. So it was much different. And I still love those foods to this day. Those are my basic comfort foods. That would be my last meal. It would be like at Mrs. White's.
not the duck tamale.
Yeah, no, it would be down at Mrs. White's with some collard greens and, you know, fried chicken or something.
But the boys,
you know, quite different. And, you know, we just always tried to teach them, give them a variety of flavors. You know, when they were little, we made their baby food, not because we didn't want to give them jarred baby food, but, you know, we just thought, well, it's not that hard to puree something and can combine some different flavors and different tastes, and, you know, and you know, they certainly had their share of McDonald's and, you know, Peter Piper pizza. It wasn't that we didn't indulge them in junk food, but, you know, we also wanted to teach them what other flavors are out there and kind of give them a well-rounded view of, you know, food. And certainly going to France, you know, it's much different too, the way that they eat and the foods that they experience there. So
were they pretty accepting of all of those different foods? There wasn't a picky eater in there?
No, not really. I think when they are introduced to things early on, they either like them or they don't. But, you know, it's sometimes when they're a little older, I think it's hard to introduce certain things. But, you know, from the time, if you're giving them spinach pureed when they're a little baby and maybe mixing it with some apples or something, you know, they get the different flavors, they kind of grow up with it. And so
people might imagine that the food that comes out of the Garoteau's home kitchen might be similar to what comes out of Vincent's kitchen or the bistro. Is that true?
No, it's pretty simple. When we don't cook that often at home. In fact, I seldom cook. My kids give me a hard time about it now because, like, well, you guys all can cook, so.
The boys can all cook.
Yeah, they can all cook, so now I make them do it. But family night is kind of Sunday. It's always been Sunday night was our night because the restaurant's closed. When, you know, we would all, the five of us, and we still do. That's family night dinner, and, you know, pretty simple. We always have cheese. Cheese is a big deal. In the French culture and, you know, for us, we always have cheese with our meal and just usually it's like a piece of grilled fish or, you know, a little beef and some salad and some sautéed veggies.
And they cook really on Sunday night?
Yeah, they all help. Now, you know, they get in the kitchen with Vincent and I sit and have my cheese and wine and watch them and it's great.
This sounds too good, Yvonne.
I love it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how you have involved the kids in the market and in the restaurant. Was it a conscious decision that you made? You said before that they just kind of had to come along because
they were always sort of here. When we started the market, you know, Vincent, growing up in France, you have markets in every little village. I mean, it's just part of the lifestyle there. And people go and they get their fresh produce. And so, you know, he sort of always wanted to replicate something like that. And we started the market. Daniel was born in October. We started it in February. So, and it was tiny. We really didn't know what how it would be received or, you know, but we just decided to do it. And it was much different, and it was just, like I said, a little tiny market. And I remember, you know, I'd come and bring Daniel in the stroller, and he'd sit behind me, and I'd, you know, we'd sell produce, and we'd coffee and pastries and stuff. So they were just always here, and then Nicholas was born, and then Christian, but, you know, they were always running around. You know, my mom would come and help watch the boys, but during market, they were just sort of always here. And Daniel, he was probably 8 years old. He was really little, and Vincent was making crepes, and he would just stand and watch him, and just stand next to him and watch him do it. And he did that for a couple weeks, and then he said, you know, I can do that. I think I can do that. So it's like, okay, try it. And he did it beautifully. And so then it's like, okay, well, then you could be the crepe guy. So he would work alongside his dad. And then as he, you know, grew up. So then Nicholas came along, and he wanted to have a job. So Daniel kind of handed him the crepe paddle, if you will, and showed him, taught him how to do the crepes. And he moved on to the paninis, which Vincent was doing at the time. So it just sort of evolved. And then, you know, Christian... when we decided to do tacos, because he really didn't want to take one of the jobs that his brothers had. So, you know, he became the taco guy. So it just sort of happened. But, you know, because we were here, they had to be here. And so it just kind of became a family thing. You know, we just all took a part in the market. And my mom, you know, was there selling her soaps. And so that's, you know, and when they were younger, I mean, it was, you know, hectic because we'd have... soccer games and basketball and, you know, all that kind of stuff that we'd have to coordinate and take them to. But, you know, we just kind of figured it out. And
so talk about the whole buy local food movement. That's really become quite a trend.
Yeah,
and how that fits into your business.
Well, and we always had that philosophy when we started the market. And so Daniel's going to be 22, so, you know, this is going to be our 22nd season. When we started, our goal was always to try to buy locally as much as we could. There's certain things that just don't grow in Arizona, you know, like berries, and, you know, there's a very limited season. I think there's more available now, certainly, than there was then. But we really tried to focus on local farmers, local producers, local honey. You know, we've got someone who does jams, jellies, you know, with locally made products. Mustards that are made locally.
And does that carry over in the restaurant, the bistro, as well?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
Why?
You know, we're a small business, and so we understand and appreciate what it's like for the small farmer or the small producer trying to do whatever they do. And, you know, you kind of all have to work together and support each other. I think it's important. There's so much competition, especially now with chains moving in and corporate, and I think it makes it unique to our business. And, you know, it's a community. I mean, I think it's great to say that you're serving an heirloom tomato salad and the tomatoes were just picked from Wilcox, Arizona a few days before, or when the Schnepp Farm peaches are in season, you know, we have just a limited time. I mean, you know, you've stood in line for your peaches and the peach tarts, but, I mean, how fabulous.
Oh, the peach tart.
Yes, the peach tart. to say, you know, those were picked yesterday, or the lettuce that's on your plate that was delivered this morning was, you know, in a field 2 days ago. It really makes a difference.
Does it feel like you've almost built more than a market then? Is it what you imagined when you started it out?
I think it's more than a market. It's really become, it's kind of a gathering place for people. It's become a social venue. You know, it's we see people, the same faces, every Saturday. We see a lot of new faces, but we have a lot of our regulars. And I love that about it. You know, it's just, if I have certain people, if I don't see them for a couple of weeks, then I'm calling, you know, because I'm worried. And it really ranges across the board, the people that come to the market. It's, there's no definitive demographic audience that I could give you that comes. You know, it's a lot of people from the neighborhood, but we have people that drive in from Chandler or from, they'll say they drove in from Carefree. And it, you know, we've sort of created this little community, I think, there, which, you know, it's wonderful. And that's really what markets are about in that you see in Europe. You know, it's for the community. So it's really makes us proud that we've, you know, done that. And have that for people, and we love it too, you know.
You hire many high school students to work in the market, I guess, that you had to start hiring.
Right.
Extra help besides just the family.
Right.
For most of them, it's a first job.
Right.
Talk about how you...
How that whole thing started.
Why talk about what you've learned from them and what you hope they take away from it.
Well, you know, they're all just great kids. And it's funny, when we first started, it was kind of hard to find help and, you know, didn't really know where to look. And I don't know, somebody had suggested, I think it was through St. Teresa, through their youth group. And it was, they were looking for a way to raise money for a trip. And so they were willing to work at the market, and we would make a donation instead of paying them, you know, put the money toward their fund for whatever they needed. And it was great, and they were all just wonderful kids, and I thought, wow, this is terrific. And then from then it never was an issue, because then they would tell their friends, and then their friends would apply, and then the next year their friends would come and apply. And for most of them, it is a first job. They've not, you know, had the experience of working with the public. And I think what it gives them, or what I hope it gives them, is just a good life lesson. Dealing with the public is something that you cannot teach people. Customer service, how to, you know, and 99% of the people that come through are just really great and friendly and happy to be there. But every now and then you get someone who's a little cranky or who's not satisfied. How to deal with that person, you know? And, I mean, I don't make them do it, I do. But, you know, just seeing that, I think it's a huge lesson for them. And a lot of them, you know, start out shy. By the end, I mean, you know, I think it really helps them develop their personalities. It gives them confidence. At least I hope that's what it does. You know, they're all great. And we've had such a good experience with all of them. And you know, when they graduate, I'm sad. But then they come back and visit. And what they've taught me how to text. They've taught me how to get more, what would I say, up into the current century, you know. And I've learned that if you want to communicate with high school students, you have to send them a text, because they don't check their emails anymore, they don't answer their phone anymore, but they will respond to a text almost instantly. So
that's great. So what's the toughest thing about being married to a French chef?
Probably the toughest is just the schedule. You know, it's just... when we're busy, there's days literally that we barely see each other. You know, we're just two ships kind of passing in the night. He comes home late at night, I'm getting up early in the morning. So I know he's okay, I know he's there, I'll see him in the restaurant, but I'm in the office working, he's downstairs in the kitchen. I mean, there would literally be days when we barely talk to each other, and I'll find myself making a list of things that I need to ask him about because I'll forget, you know, or I'll leave him a note at night. You know, and then just the schedule. We miss a lot of fun events because we've got to work, holiday parties and stuff like that. But another challenge would be just butter. The butter, that's one of the best things, because everything is better when it's cooked in butter. When you have a steak that's sauteed in butter, or those delicious buttery croissants, or the butter that goes into the flaky pastry crust on the peach tarts. And then the hardest would be avoiding all that butter. So it's the best and the worst.
What's been the best thing?
The best thing is the people, for sure, the customers, the people that we've met, the opportunities that we've had over the years are just indescribable. The people that have come through the doors, from, you know, well-known chefs to celebrities to just locals that are... just amazing people. It really, you know, I still pinch myself sometimes when I think about some of the opportunities that we've had and the people that we've had the chance to meet, or the people that come in here on a regular basis that, you know, we consider friends. All of them that we've met, you know, all of our clients and friends over the almost 27 years that we've been here. It's really just been an amazing. So I have to say that's for sure the best.
Okay, I gotta ask.
Great customers.
What's your favorite thing that comes out of the kitchen?
My goodness. It's probably, there's a couple, but if I really want to indulge myself, it'd probably be the duck, sauteed potatoes, and a really good glass of red wine. It's so rich, and I'll suffer for it the next day, but it's so good.
New stories and a calendar of events updated daily at RaisingArizonaKids.com. I'm Vicki Belint. Thanks for listening.
Raising Arizona Kids Radio is a Small Change production. All rights reserved. This material may not be broadcast or redistributed without permission. Mm-hmm.